नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरयेत्. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, text number 3. Nigama kapataror kalitam phalam shukamukaramita davasam yutam pivata bhagavatam rasam alayam muharaharasika bhuvibhavukaha. Srila Prabhupada's translation. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. Mukam karati vachalam pangam langhayate girim yat kipam taham bande shi gurum dinatarinam om agyana timrandasya gyananjana shakaya chakshumilitam yena tasmai shi gurave namaha. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Prachayane Nirvishesha Shanyavadi Vasyata Deshtarine. We're continuing our study of the Mangalacharan. Obeisances, Namaskar, by Vyasadeva, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and then Vastu Nirdesh, or description of the subject of the book, Janmadyasya Yataha, Lord Krishna, from whom everything is emanating, who deludes everyone, including the demigods. And the purpose of Bhagavatam was given to distinguish reality from illusion. We also heard three benedictions from Vyasadeva for anyone who will seriously and attentively hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Who can tell me a benediction that Vyasadeva gives to the reader? Yes. Free from all miseries. Okay, another one. One more benediction. Yes, Maharaj.
The exhibit
by submissively patient and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam's supreme personality that includes the Lord Krishna manifests in the heart. Yes, Sri Vrindavan. One becomes Paramahansa. Well, that's Prabhupada's. Prabhupada's benediction. Vyasadeva gave one more benediction. Yes?
All auspicious.
Okay, and Prabhupada's benedictions? Yes, you can become Paramahansa simply by doing one thing. And what is that?
Faithfully hearing,
agreeing to hear, patiently hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So today, Vyasadeva is glorifying Bhagavatam and urging us to drink deeply of the nectar of Bhagavatam. So he says, first of all, Nigama kalpataror kalitam phalam. It's a desire tree. As a desire tree can give us anything we desire, Srimad Bhagavatam will satisfy our heart's desire. Whether we're full of desires, we're free of desires, or we want liberation. Shukadeva Goswami, he was free of desires. He was self-satisfied, apnarama. He didn't want to be born because he thought he'd be captivated by Maya. Yet, he was attracted to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. As it is said by Suta Goswami, Atmaramas Chamunayo Nigranta Apyurukrame, that he was Atmarama, but still he was attracted by the qualities of Krishna. Dhruva was full of desires. Yet, when he saw the Lord, then he became free of desires, and he said, I was searching for some broken pieces of glass, but now I found a valuable jewel. So we may not be on this highest level, but whatever position we may find ourselves in, we should simply hear Bhagavatam. As we heard yesterday, stane stita shutikatam tanuvamanobir, whatever position you simply hear. At the end of Bhagavatam, some very interesting benedictions are given for those of you who belong to the Varnashram Society or think that you're one of these types of people or have these types of interest. At the end of Bhagavatam, this is Canto 12, Chapter 12, Verse 65. A Brahmana who studies Srimad Bhagavatam achieves firm intelligence in devotional service. A king who studies Srimad Bhagavatam gains sovereignty over the earth. A Vaishya acquires great treasure. And a Shudra is freed from sinful reactions. So these are some other benedictions. Many benedictions are given throughout the Bhagavatam. If you hear this story, you will get this. If you hear this story, or if you chant this story. Actually, the real benediction was given by Vyasadeva, that we will capture Krishna, we'll develop love of Godhead. Because Bhagavatam is Amala Purana, spotless Purana, meant for the spotless devotees. The Vedas, however, are compared to a desire tree because they can give both spiritual and material knowledge, from curing diseases in the Ayurveda to military science in the Dhanurveda. And Srila Prabhupada, he even when he was describing this verse, he said that there is a science in the Vedas on how to make airplanes. In fact, you can fly in three different ways, Prabhupada said. You can go by airplane, or you can go by pigeon, can train the pigeons. Actually, one reporter asked this of Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told the reporter, yes, you can fly by pigeon. And this is very interesting. The reporter couldn't quite believe it. And then the third way to fly is on your seat. If you chant some mantras, then you can make your seat fly wherever you like. So this science is there, in case you're interested in the Vedas. Actually, there's a story, Panchatantra, about some witches who uprooted a tree, and they were chanting mantras, and they were flying on this tree from planet to planet. So these things are there. You can have a look at this chart of Vedic knowledge that we handed out. Did everyone get this chart? Maharaj didn't get. Do we have another copy here? Yes, we have a copy. There's another copy? You left it. Bhaktivinoda. Oh, yes. Did Maharaj get... Okay, somebody is missing a copy? Okay, pass it down to Sri Vrindavan Prabhu. So you have this chart here. On one side, if you look at the chart at your left side, you have Shruti. Shruti is revealed absolute truth. Every word is unchanged eternally. So under Shruti, we have the Vedas. That's normally what we know as the Shruti. Rigs, Yajur, Sama, Atharva. And then under the Vedas, we have so many categories. And then there's the Upavedas. That's where you find Ayurveda, Dhanurveda. And then you have the Vedangas. And that's Kalpa, Shiksha, Vyakaran, Nirukta, Chanda, and Jyotish, astrology. So previously, a knower of the Vedas had to know all these things. Of course, you could be Trivedi or Dvivedi, two Vedas, three Vedas, four Vedas. But previously, the people, they would just simply hear it once, and they would know it. And so it was quite possible in previous ages to learn the Vedas for the Brahmanas. Also Vastu. Vastu nowadays is very popular. There's one book out in the West, very popular book on Vastu Shastra. So this is, Vedas are coming of age. They're compared to a desire tree, and when the people of the modern world discover this, then they'll be very happy. Unfortunately, it's hidden in the Sanskrit language. So the problem is that these Vedas are so intricate. You have to know Sanskrit to know the Vedas. You have to know the meters. You have to chant properly. So many problems. So in this age of Kali, it's very difficult to access the Vedas. People are short-lived. They're not interested. Manda, sumanda, matayo. So many problems. So the Vedas are inaccessible in this age. People need an easy method to get knowledge. They have no time, no determination, what to speak of finding Krishna in the Vedas. So therefore, in Tattva Sandarbha, not therefore, I'll tell you a little bit more about how difficult it is with the Vedas. It is described that in Lord Brahma's planet, 1 billion verses of the Vedas exist. 1 billion. Vyasadeva divided the Vedas into four. And after he divided it, there remained 1 billion verses. I'm taking this from Tattva Sandarbha, this knowledge of 1 billion verses, Lord Brahma's planet. These verses became the original Purana, which is still available on the heavenly planets. So then we have this big, big Purana on Lord Brahma's planet. Out of this Purana, out of these 1 billion verses, Vyasadeva took out 500,000 and he brought them here to this earth. 100,000 are the Itihasa called Mahabharata, and 400,000 are the Puranas. So here we can look at our chart again. We can see the Smriti. The Smriti, this is composed by sages. The wording may change from age to age. So there's 6 categories of Smriti, ritual sutras, and under that category we have the Dharma Shastras, then the Tantras, Pancharatras, Puranas, Itihasas, and 6 Darshans. So the Puranas and Itihasas are called the 5th Veda because they are taken from the original Veda, which is now in Lord Brahma's planet still to this day. Then we have the 6 Darshans. The 6 Darshans are by 6 different sages, but you can read it at your leisure at the bottom of the page. We won't go into detail because actually this chart was made by Gopi Pradhanadana Prabhu. So if you have any questions, you can ask him. Yes, Prabhu. Prasthanachaya. Yeah, there's so many. This is just a very brief. Everything is not here. We couldn't fit it on the page in the computer. Yeah, Vedanta is down. It's at the bottom under the 6 darshans. Oh, Vedanta, you're saying that Vedanta is Shruti. Okay.
Sometimes Shruti. Shruti Smriti,
yeah.
Sometimes it is presented as Shruti Smriti.
Yeah. So if you have any technical questions, you can save them for Saturday when Gopi Pranadana Prabhu comes, because he made the chart and I'm just showing it to you. So we'll continue. So we can see how to learn all these things. How is it possible? You even a lifetime is not enough to learn all these things. So therefore, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Stri Shudra Vijabandunam Chayina Shuti Gochara. In this age, or even in any age, Stri Shudra Vijabandunam, they have no access to the Vedas. Only the Brahmanas are qualified to study the Vedas. But in this age, there's a big problem because Kalo Shudra Sambhava, everybody's born a Shudra. So therefore, the Puranas, the Itihasas, there are 2 categories here under the Smriti. They are given as the 5th Veda, and they are accessible for everyone. And of all the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost Purana. So Galitam Phalam, ripened fruit. Galitam Phalam, fruit ripened in the tree is very, very delicious. This summer, I was very fortunate to live in a village on the ocean in South India. And in this village where I was living, there were many mango trees. And it was mango season. And the mangoes were ripe. And they were falling from the tree. Every day, 20, 30 mangoes would fall right where I was living. And some of them would get broken, and some of them wouldn't. And so I was eating like 3, 4, 5 mangoes a day. And it was very sweet. When you get the ripe mango straight from the tree, it's very, very sweet. But nowadays, of course, in the market, the people, they bring unripe fruits. They artificially ripen them, so many means. And also, or they keep it in cold storage. We see some of the tomatoes, they're like white inside, cold storage, because it's not in season. So this is the kind of fruits we get. But Bhagavatam is not like that. Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the Vedas, carefully hand-picked, carefully passed down. So it's very, very sweet. So Bhagavatam is giving us the essence of Krishna consciousness. It is compared to a tree. In a tree, we have the vital fluid of the tree. You get it from the roots all the way to the top of the tree. But you cannot taste it, even though it's present throughout the tree. So Lord Krishna is present throughout the Vedas, but very difficult to taste. But when you get the fruit, when you get the fruit of the tree, then you can taste the vital fluid of the tree. So same way, in Srimad Bhagavatam, it's the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree. And Vyasadeva says, Pivata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam, described as rasa, or juice. So now this is a bit contradictory here. Rasa and phalam. It is juice and it is fruit. And I think His Grace Mahamahaprabhu can explain to us this point. He explained it very nicely on the first day. Wow, how it can be rasa, how it can be juice, and how it can be fruit. Yes. Without the skin and without the seed. This is the fruit of Bhagavatam. You don't have to take off the skin, and we don't have to worry about the seed when we eat this fruit. Simply drink it through your ears. Such a wonderful fruit. One time, Gurudas, my godbrother, he asked Srila Prabhupada, what are the desire trees in Goloka like? Srila Prabhupada said, the fruits have no seed and no skin. And when you finish eating a fruit and the sweet taste is still in your mouth, another fruit appears in your hand if you so desire. And if you want to taste another one, you get another one. It's again and again, you can relish as long as the taste is there. So Bhagavatam, it's like that. It's very, very sweet. And as soon as you finish one part, you get another part to relish. It keeps going on and on. So that's why it's the fruit of the desire tree of Golok Vrindavan, the real fruit. Golokya Premadan. Okay, different types of fruit within the same fruit. Same tree. Yes. Okay, different kinds of eatables in the same tree. So Bhagavatam will give us many kinds of eatables, many things for us, many different tastes to digest according to your taste. And according to your taste, you will find out what is your taste, what is your relationship with Krishna. If you actually hear Bhagavatam nicely, I asked Jananivas 2 years ago, I asked him, what will we get from studying Bhagavatam? He said, yes, if you hear it purely, then you can actually relish your relationship with Krishna by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So all these different tastes are there. And Shukha Mukhar Amrita Dava Samyutam, it's sweeter because it's tasted by Shukha, parrot. So in Indian villages, I lived in Indian village for 5 years. The children know that the mango fruit, when it's touched by the parrot, it's very sweet. So here, same thing, Bhagavatam fruit is tasted by Shukha, so it's very sweet. Similarly, Bhagavatam tasted by Srila Prabhupada has become even more sweet. Maha Maha Prasad. We are getting Maha 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 Maha. And that's why it's best to be servant of the servant of the servant, because then you get more Maha. It goes further down. So as Prabhupada explains in the purport, now we're in paragraph 8. In this shloka, it is definitely stated that spiritual rasa, which is relished even in the liberated stage, can be experienced in the literature of Srimad Bhagavatam due to its being the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. By submissively hearing this transcendental literature, one can attain the full pleasure of his heart's desire. Then Prabhupada explains why Shukadeva is so special. Paragraph 10. The Vedic fruit, which is mature and ripe in knowledge, is spoken through the lips of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who is compared to the parrot not for his ability to recite Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from his learned father, but for his ability to present the work in a manner that would appeal to all classes of men. So Srila Prabhupada had this ability. Srila Prabhupada could take the most difficult philosophical ideas and make it very simple for the modern man. Can anyone give me an example how Srila Prabhupada did this? How he sweetened the fruit of Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita? Any example can give me? Or how he made it easier? How he digested it? Yes, Manjari. New York. Raso ham apsukonteya. Even a drunkard. Right. Right. Prabhupada said if the drunkard, when he's drinking wine, he thinks this taste is Krishna. And one day he'll come out a devotee. So Prabhupada, he was very merciful. There was a drunkard, actually. And if you read Prabhupada's Lilamrita, who came in and he put in the toilet paper and then he left. Prabhupada said, yes, his devotional service has begun. So Prabhupada had this ability. He could bring it down to even the lowest people. He was so merciful. So we have to repeat the message of Bhagavatam in our own words. We have to sweeten it with our own realization. Purport 11th paragraph. This is, I think, third to the last. Prabhupada says, the subject matter is so presented through the lips of Srila Shukadeva Goswami that any sincere listener that hears submissively can at once relish transcendental tastes, which are distinct from the perverted tastes of the material world. The ripened fruit is not dropped all of a sudden from the highest plant, Krishna Loka. Rather, it has come down carefully through the chain of disciplic succession without change or disturbance. So we have to try to capture the essence of what Shukadeva is saying, what Srila Prabhupada is saying, the relevance for our lives. This is the importance. When we read, we have to read deeply, and then we'll be able to speak. So Shukadeva, he has two qualifications. He's presenting knowledge to civil succession according to his realization, time, place, and circumstance. By stages, Prabhupada also said, so many things in this purport, by stages of transcendental realization. So Prabhupada says in the purport that the first two cantos are Krishna's lotus feet. So in the third canto, Lord Kapiladev says that the yogi should meditate on the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, because Krishna's lotus feet are like thunderbolts that will destroy the mountain of sin in the heart of the meditating yogi. So this is why we have to meditate on the lotus feet of Krishna, the first two cantos. As we said before, it will destroy all our misconceptions we may be having about Krishna, about ourselves, about who we are. We'll learn in the first two cantos. So we are approaching Krishna through his lotus feet, first two cantos, step by step. Then we can drink the Bhagavat Ras. So Vyasadeva is inviting us to drink Pibata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. Why is Bhagavatam Rasa? What is the Rasa, actually, of Srimad Bhagavatam? Why is it so sweet? What is it that will captivate us? What is the actual essence of Bhagavatam? Madhavendra Puripa.
Deals with Lord Krishna.
Deals with Lord Krishna. And?
And
his devotees. The combination, the relationship, the exchange. This is Rasa. Krishna alone, you won't see. You won't see Krishna alone. You'll see Krishna with his devotees. Juva, Prahlad, everyone with Krishna, or the Supreme Lord, according to the form they desire. And no other rasa will satisfy us in this world. Not sex rasa, not mental speculation rasa. That's why yesterday kicked out all these other things. Mystic yoga rasa. Only Krishna, Bhagavat rasa. Because we've tasted these rasas so many times. Actually, in the fifth chapter of this canto, Narada Muni says that we should search for that thing which we have not yet gotten by wandering to the highest planet, down to the lowest planet, through 8,400,000 species of life. Does anybody know the Sanskrit for that verse? I used to know it, but today it escapes my memory. What's that? You can't remember. Well, it's 1:5:18. Tasyaiva heto prayate te kovido. Yes, thank you very much. Tasyaiva heto prayate te kovido. Those who are philosophically inclined and intelligent, they will look for that thing which they have not yet gotten in this world. Everyone's actually searching for Krishna, but instead we're getting some cheap imitation Krishna. So we're not satisfied. Just like a fish out of water. You give the fish some food, you give him, there used to be a picture in BTG, sunglasses, the fish has got sunglasses, he's got beautiful clothes, he's got a feast. What's that? Yes, he's in a deck chair on the beach. But he doesn't want to be in the deck chair, he wants to be in the water. So are we. We've got our nice clothes, we've got our nice bodies, our nice subtle bodies also, which give us so much enjoyment. But we don't have Krishna. So therefore, it's all useless. We'll hear this in the second chapter, Shama Iva Kevalam. Everything's useless without Krishna. In Goa, I saw, it's a fishing place. So many fish come, they're flapping. They don't want to be on the land. They want to be in the water. And so do we. We don't want to be here. We want to be in the spiritual world. So therefore, Vyasadeva is so kind. He's bringing us this rasa straight from the spiritual world, from Goloka Vrindavan, just so we can be happy, so that we can satisfy our spiritual starvation. And only this Bhagavad rasa can give us solace for our soul. And this rasa is alayam. Alayam means we can go on drinking this rasa up until death, even after death, or even after liberation. And we won't stop. Later on, the sages will say, we are not satisfied. We want to hear more. Please, please, tell us more. Now, in the second canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a very rasika purport by Srila Prabhupada. Normally, devotees think they have to go to rasika literatures. Actually, Bhagavatam is the most rasika literature. And Srila Prabhupada is a rasika devotee. And he wrote a very wonderful purport describing the nature of this rasa that we are going to receive very shortly from Sutta and Shukadeva Goswami. This is the second canto, fourth chapter, verse 24. Shukadeva is offering his prayers to Lord Krishna. He's begging for empowerment so that he may speak about Krishna. So this verse, in this verse he's offering respectful obeisances to Srila Vyasadeva. He says, I offer my respectful obeisances to Srila Vyasadeva, incarnation of Vasudev, who compiled the Vedic scriptures. Pure devotees drink up the nectarian transcendental knowledge dropping from the lotus-like mouth of the Lord. So now Prabhupada quotes Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who says, the nectar from the mouth of Lord Krishna is transferred to his different consorts, and thus they learn the fine arts of music, dance, dressing, decoration, and all such things which are relished by the Lord. Last year, there was a class in the Gurukul on Radhashtami, and one little boy raised his hand. He asked the question, did Radharani go to Gurukul? So here's the answer. How did she learn everything? How did she learn the 64 arts? Krishna taught her, transferred from the mouth of Lord Krishna to his consorts. Thus they learn the arts of music, dance, dressing, decoration, such things. So what does this have to do with us? Let's read on. One should therefore try to understand the Vedic scriptures or the nectar transferred by the Lord to his consorts and the conjugal humor from the lotus-like mouth of Vyasadeva or Shukadeva. So this is what we're getting, Srimad Bhagavatam. The nectar from the mouth of Krishna given to his consorts is coming down to us from Brahma to Vyas to Shukadeva. It's coming to us. We're very, very fortunate. Prabhupada says, by gradual development of transcendental knowledge, one can rise to the stage of the transcendental arts of music and dance displayed by the Lord in his Rasleela. But without having the Vedic knowledge, one can hardly understand the transcendental nature of the Lord's Ras dance and music. Pure devotees of the Lord, however, can equally relish the nectar in the form of profound philosophical discourses and in the form of kissing by the Lord in the Ras dance, as there is no mundane distinction between the two. So just imagine Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is nectar. It's dropping from the mouth of Krishna. It's being caught by Vyasadeva. It's being caught by Shukadeva, by Srila Prabhupada. Now, we have to be eager also to catch it from Srila Prabhupada, from his lips. We will catch this nectar. We come here every day. And we will also learn all the arts that Radharani learned. Eventually. When we get to 10th canto. Before that, we have to learn so many other things. We have to become purified. Then we can learn these things. There's another desire tree described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Who can tell me? Actually, there's many desire trees. Can anyone tell me about the desire tree in Chaitanya Charitamrita? There's a beautiful desire tree. It's a desire tree of devotional service. And the trunk is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's also the gardener. And he's picking the fruits. And he doesn't care. He's not asking any price. He doesn't see, oh, you're not fit. You're not qualified. He's just distributing freely. And this tree, every part of the tree can perform the acts of the other part. So Lord Chaitanya said, I'm the only gardener. How can I pick and distribute all these fruits? Therefore, I order every man, woman, child within this universe to accept Krishna conscious movement and distribute it all over the world. Let everyone become free from old age and death. As we discussed on the first day, that we are performing a sacrifice. Pranar artar diavacha. By intelligence, by wealth, by our words, with our life. So this is our sacrifice. We are meant to take the fruits of the desire tree of devotional service, the fruit, Srimad Bhagavatam, and we're meant to distribute it, just like Panchatattva. It's described that when Lord Krishna came here, the treasure house of love of Godhead was sealed. How was it sealed? Because in Bhagavad Gita, he said, first you surrender, and then I give you. But Lord Chaitanya, he made no conditions. He simply distributed. He broke open the seal and distributed the fruits of love of Godhead. So this is what we're doing. We're trying to distribute this fruit of Srimad Bhagavatam, fruit of love of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada, if you read the introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, he says, in the modern age, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached Srimad Bhagavatam by practical demonstration. It is easier to penetrate into the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam through the medium of Sri Chaitanya's causeless mercy. Lord Chaitanya is both Bhagavan and Bhagavatam in person and in sound. Therefore, his process of approaching Srimad Bhagavatam is practical for all people of the world. What is his process of approaching Srimad Bhagavatam? Nishinananda Prabhu? Chant Hare Krishna? Yes. Anything else? Serving the devotees? Anything else?
Taking prasad.
Taking prasad, yes. Chanting and dancing. This is the process. When you chant Hare Krishna, Vidya Vadhu Jivanam. This is the life of all transcendental knowledge. You cannot penetrate Bhagavatam unless you can chant properly the holy name of Lord Krishna, because they are non-different. This is the entrance to Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a holy name. Nam Prabhu, very, very merciful. So Prabhupada said, it was Lord Chaitanya's wish Srimad Bhagavatam be preached in every nook and corner of the world by those who happen to take their birth in India. Bharata Bhumi Tehoila, Manushya Janmajara. Srimad Bhagavatam is the science of Krishna, the absolute personality of Godhead, of whom we have preliminary information from the text of Bhagavad Gita. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, anyone, regardless of what he is, who is well-versed in the science of Krishna, Bhagavatam and Gita, can become an authorized preacher or preceptor in the science of Krishna. 1966, Srila Prabhupada was sitting in New York on the Bowery, and he had a motley crew of hippies in front of him, long hair, beards, and he said to them, now, I want you to preach all over the world. We need gurus. We need thousands of gurus to preach this message. So this is the command of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that everyone who has received this nectar from Krishna, they should also distribute it. Science of Krishna. Prabhupada says, there is a need for the science of Krishna in human society. For the good of all suffering humanity of the world, he simply requests the leaders of all nations to pick up this science of Krishna and distribute it for the good of society and the good of the world's people. So this is our challenge. This is our challenge. Srila Prabhupada is giving us a challenge. We must take Srimad Bhagavatam. Jare deko tare koho Krishna Upadesh. What is this Krishna Upadesh? Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the words of Krishna. So we have to join Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chant Hare Krishna, read Bhagavatam, distributed. Srila Prabhupada also, he wrote a letter to his disciples in 1976. My dear sons and daughters, if you feel indebted to me at all, if you want to repay me, then you should preach vigorously like I am. Then you can repay. Of course, you can never repay the debt to the spiritual master, but this is the proper way to repay me. Prabhupada said the real ocean of mercy is Krishna. It's the duty of the spiritual master to tell his disciple to come to the ocean and be happy. The spiritual master's duty is to lead the disciple to the ocean. So Prabhupada said, I'm trying my best. If you follow, you'll benefit. So then Prabhupada, at the end, he said, Krishna is unlimited. No one can capture Krishna. But if someone follows the parampara, Krishna agrees to be captured. So this is the process. We're trying, this is our goal, to capture Krishna, to get love of Krishna, to attract Krishna to our service. So we must follow Srila Prabhupada, follow Lord Chaitanya, follow Vyasadeva, follow all of the civic succession, and we'll be successful. We'll be able to enter Srimad Bhagavatam. There's also a certain mood that is required to enter Srimad Bhagavatam. That is described by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastakam. Does anyone know the verse? Chanarapi sunichena tararapi saishana manina manadena kirtanayastahari. Submissively, that's what Vyasadeva is saying, submissively. Submissively means we actually understand who we are. Who are we? 1/10,000 tip of a hair, right? Not very big. But because we have expanded into these bodies, we feel very big indeed. And then we have expanded into our subtle bodies and we're even bigger, our egos. So therefore, we have to leave these things behind if we want to enter Bhagavatam. Sorry, can't take it with you. Anyway, at least while we're here in this room, we can try to be non-envious, as Vyasadeva said yesterday, and try to follow the path of Lord Chaitanya. When you chant Hare Krishna, when you're chanting Japa, when you're chanting Kirtan, meditate on the holy name. Pray to the holy name to be allowed to enter Srimad Bhagavatam. Pray to the holy Dham, Vrindavan. Now we also, there's so much mercy. Mercy is flowing here. Sri Vrindavan Dham. Can pray to the Dham to allow us to enter Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we seriously study Bhagavatam, we hear it attentively, we can come to the stage of actually relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. This is also our goal. So today's class is very short. We simply invite everyone to relish Srimad Bhagavatam. Tomorrow we're going to have a presentation, hopefully, or the next day. Tomorrow? Very good. On how to speak and how not to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. So now we can have questions and discussion. A lot of time for discussion today, so everyone should become satisfied. All your questions should be satisfied today. Yes, Paramakarna Prabhu. Oh, okay, Avaduta Priya.
What's the question?
Quick question.
Tava
Sandarbha. 500,000, yeah. 5 lakhs, they would say in India, or 500,000 in English? 400, no, it's the opposite. 400 for Puranas, 400,000, and 100,000 for Itihas means history. Paramakarna Prabhu. You had it the other way around. Just see. I'm sorry, I must have been unclear.
Oh.
Man and animal. Yes. That's very interesting. Prabhupada said you can't have rasa between man and animal. Yes, well, I mean, man's best friend is dog in the Western country. Yes. Yes, perverted rasa. I think Prabhupada is a very cultured person. And he wrote the Bhagavatam before he went to the West, obviously. So he probably couldn't have dreamed or dreamt that anyone could have had a rasa with an animal. But that's one thing. Does anybody else have an idea? Prashanta?
We discussed in our group.
You discussed it too. I guess it's a very interesting point there. Oh, very. This is a good point. This is very nice. Dvipadapashu. Okay. Those who have rasas with animals are not humans. No, they're not human species. That's a good point.
They haven't come.
Yes. That's, no. Yes. Oh, that's a very good point. Two-legged animals. Well, he's saying that the human beings combined with the animals and animals they have, Yeah, like you probably gives the example often. What's the inhibitor between man and animal? Okay, that's a good question. I never thought of that one. What's the inhibitor? Yes. Okay, everybody discussed this question. I'm so glad. Okay, animals in general think in dualities, he's saying. Enemy or friend. Danger or no danger. So we categorize, human beings in that way as enemy or friend. The animals don't distinguish, well, I think they do. The story of? Tarzan. Tarzan? Tarzan. Jungle human being. And he was brought up by the monkeys, okay? There you have it. Missing link. Yes. Yes. Enemy. The animals don't have distinction. As strong as we have. So what's the point? Okay, they think we're just one of them. Bigger dog. Okay, we're the leader of the dogs. Or we're the leader of the cows, or whatever. Yes, Mancha. Oh, wait. But for the pigs, we are equals. Okay. I think let's Manjari, yes. The other point about? Oh, we want to change the subject here. The Shruti, well, a few of them are driveling, are here. He already did that. I don't know how many verses. He didn't say how many verses are in the Vedas. He did that first. First, he divided the Vedas into four, and that we have here. That came first. First, the Vedas came here. So he didn't specify how many verses those were. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Shmiti. Yes, first Shruti. That's what it said in Tattvasandarbha. First he divided the Vedas. First he did the Shruti, he edited. And then he went and got the Puranas, Itihasas, they came later. Yes, that's the history. Okay, now do we want to continue the subject of the animals? Yes, we do. Okay, not too much longer, but... I call you Tattvadarshan, but you're Darshan, okay. Yes, that's a very good point. Used to give prasadam to the insects. And so how do we reconcile this? Prabhupada says you cannot have rasa with the animals. Actually, well, if we analyze it, there are five different types of rasas: neutrality and servitude and friendship and parental and conjugal. So a lot of those rasas you definitely don't have with animals. But actually, there's another verse I'm thinking of, that how the devotee, the Madhyam Adhikari, how he relates to four different classes of people, that actually it's in Bhagavatam, Kapiladev, that he worships the Lord, the Supreme Lord, in everyone's heart, either by giving worship, means to his superior, by having friendship, like with equals, or by showing mercy to those who are lower than him, or by being equal to everyone. So Prabhupada's relationship with devotees' relationship with animals, it could be also seen on that level, that he's being merciful. It may not be that he's in the rasa of friendship. Of course, he's a friend to everyone. That goes. He's just like, he's a representative of Krishna, so he has that friendship, suhidam sarvabhutanam. But when we speak of rasa, it's very specific. It's friendship and conjugal rasa and all these different rasas with Krishna. So I think her point about if you're a two-legged animal, that's one way, of course, but then if you're a paramahansa, that's another way of looking at it. If you're a paramahansa, you can also relate to the animals. But in between, it's probably not allowed. Yes, Prabhu. Cows. Yes. Okay, so the cow is our servant, definitely. Yeah, so actually this is a very difficult question. I don't know if I can think of a conclusion. Yes, Prabhu. Okay. This is a very good point. Haribo. Nishingananda Prabhu. Okay, let's do that. Okay, that's very nice. But I think this is the proper understanding. But I really like his point too, because it just made me think that actually in this world we're having perverted rasa because we're thinking that, yes, they are my servant. I am the master. See, we're seeing everything in relationship with us, like we're the enjoyer. So therefore it's perverted rasa. Whereas in spiritual world, it begins with the idea of who we are the servant. So there's a whole nother angle of seeing rasa. So like man and man, animal and animal, it's the whole idea is that they want to enjoy. They are the enjoyer. We are the enjoyer. He is my servant. He is my friend. But actually, I'm the enjoyer. Whereas with Krishna, it's I am the servant. He is the enjoyer. I think that was a very nice point that you brought up. Any other points on this? Before, yes, Prabhu. Madan Gopal Prabhu. In relationship to Krishna, yes. Yes. You can have relationships with animals in relationship to Krishna, and that's proper. Proper rasa is you see everything in relationship to Krishna. So what kind of rasa can you have with an animal in relationship to Krishna? Yeah. He couldn't imagine like this. Yes, Maharaj. You're serving Lord Krishna by serving the cows. So if anyone wants to do this, on our opening day, we had a devotee here, and I forgot to say this while he was here. His name is Kurmarupa Prabhu, and he is engaged in the service of the cows. And he just took it on himself, and he's all these stray cows, cows with broken legs. People just come and give him cows and cows, cows that were mistreated, abused. He takes them. So if anyone wants to do Gai Seva, you can meet Kurmarupa Prabhu, he'll be teaching nectar instruction in Bhakti Shastri class. He's in Madhavan Colony somewhere. Yes, you were next. Getting them for the holy name. Yes. Actually, I just read something very interesting yesterday. I was going over my notes on the fifth chapter of this canto. And there's a verse where Narada Muni says that you may give up your occupation to become a devotee. Jagda Sataramam Charanam Bhajam Hare. You give up your occupation. You may give it up, like you may be a Brahmin, and you give up your occupation. So the reaction for giving up your occupation is that you get a very low birth in your next life. So suppose you were a Brahmin in one life. Next life, if you gave it up to become a devotee and you didn't do your Brahminical things properly or you fell down from devotional service, nothing is lost. So Prabhupada, he said that a lot of the devotees from the West may have been in this position that they did not properly execute their prescribed duties in Varnashram in their last life, but they gave it up to take up devotional service. So then they got a low birth, but it was never lost because Krishna gave them remembrance of him. And then Prabhupada went on to say that the animals who have relationship with devotees are not ordinary. They also were devotees in their last life but didn't make it. Because Prabhupada said, just see how the animals who are living with devotees are protected. The cows are Nuvrindavan. They're very special. Of course, he also said all the animals, and the dogs, hogs, and monkeys in Vrindavan were all devotees who made Dham Aparad in their last life, and now they became animals in the Dham to be purified. So yes, this is a point. This is a point. We do have relationship, but not the kind that Prabhupada was thinking of, this kind of rasa, pure love of this love. Any other points to be made on this particular topic? Apremanandi Prabhu. Right. So we, very good. Yes, so we get a little of Indian culture here and we learn a lot in this class. Yes, Prabhu. You would like to add one thing? Mothers. Oh, that's a good point. Seven mothers, okay? Last one on this topic. We'll go to another. Yes, Prabhu. Yes, we are discouraged generally. Just like... Yes. Just like Jada Bharat, look what happened to him. He got attached to a deer, and look what happened. That warning is there, don't get attached. There was one student, Prabhupada was giving a lecture in a university, and Prabhupada was saying, if you behave like this, like animals, you will become an animal in your next life. The student raised his hand and said, I don't mind becoming a dog. Prabhupada said, you have my blessings. Gainesville, oh, was it? I was probably there then, because I was there when he came to Gainesville. So this is our society today. People, they love dogs. They want to become dogs, even in this life. They look like dogs. Yes, imitate. Keep it. Imitation dogs. Okay, let's go to another topic. I think we've discussed this one enough. Like? What's that? Cats. Oh. No. No, we're going to another question. Yes, Prabhu. Sankirtandas. Okay, can everybody hear? Indradyumna Swami, in one of his ecstatic reports, quoted Prabhupada Saraswati. Okay, Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Yes. To the degree we surrender to Lord Chaitanya's service, we gain qualification for the service of Radharani's lotus feet in Vraj. Okay? Service. And how do we serve Lord Chaitanya? Sankirtan Yogya. It's a service. The worship of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sumedasa. Yes? More? Okay, that's a quote from Indradyumna Swami, who's quoting and quoting from other sources. Okay? Any other comments or questions or discussions that you had in your groups? Leela Madhuri. Five primary rasas. Seven secondary. Okay, if there's an absence of the five primary rasas, will manifest. The seven others will manifest. Okay, we want to hear from the sadhus. Maharaj, would you like to enlighten us? How is it that in the absence of the five primary rasas, the indirect rasas appear? I also. Anybody else have an idea how this happens? Right. There's no question of pure rasa here in this material world because everyone is self-centered. Okay. Because of self-centeredness and frustration, the secondary rasas may arise. Yes, Madan Gopal Prabhu. Okay. The secondary rasas in the spiritual world add spice to the primary rasas. Oh, this is a very good point. In the material world, the secondary rasas break down the primary rasas, whereas the opposite is true in the spiritual world. This is what they discussed in their group. And that's why it's nice to have all these groups. So everybody's working on the same question. Can I explain it? Yes. Radharani gets angry. Krishna, you can't come. Yes. Okay, you didn't hear that. Okay, so he was saying that in the material world, you have a primary rasa of conjugal love, for example, husband, wife. But then if one of the other rasas come, like ghastliness, like the husband kills the wife, it's not exactly helpful for the relationship. But in the spiritual world, if Radharani gets angry with Krishna and doesn't allow him to come, then that's helpful for the relationship, actually, because it makes them even more eager to meet, even more eager, makes it even more fun. That's the, yes, Manjari. When the five primary rasas are absent. Right, positive or negative, primary rasas are there. Right, here in this world. Okay. Well, that's a good point. Okay, does anybody else have anything else on this particular subject? Paramakaruna Prabhu. No, they are experienced. Yeah. Yeah, everything is experienced here, but it's perverted reflection. It's not pure. It's not pure. Yeah, it's not here in a pure. It's in other words, it's impure. we see the rasas here. We see friendship. We have parental. Yes, Maharaj. Bhajani. Yes, there will be some problems as long as you're not in a pure stage. Yes, until we get to that level. Of course, we can taste something. A little taste. But not the pure rasa. Nishinganda Prabhu? Okay, he would like to share real example. Okay, we had a congregation of devotees who adopted a small child. That's his relationship with Krishna. Maharaj, would you like to enlighten us more on that? Or Mahaman Prabhu, do you know about these things? I don't know what you know because you never speak. Right. Okay, so does Bhishma have, well, the question is, it's a very difficult question which I won't be able to answer. Does Bhishma have his rasa of chivalry in the spiritual world? Is that your question?
Yeah,
eternally. Eternally. Is he eternally in the chivalrous rasa with Lord Krishna? Sankirtan Prabhu. In liberated condition only, this primary rasa is experienced in full. But the question is, here, but then in the next sentence he says, in liberated condition only, this primary rasa is experienced in full. So does it mean one of the primary rasas only? Yes, Nishinganda. It's an extension of Krishna's, this material world is an extension of the pastimes of Lord Krishna, which he cannot have in the spiritual world, like, for example, fighting.
So does it mean that Bhishma can't go to the spiritual world?
Oh, he went. You'll see in chapter 9, Bhishma went to the spiritual world. He's going. He worships Narayan. He worships the four-armed form of the Lord. And I'm sure he doesn't fight with him in Vaikuntha. But he has to come here to fight with him. Vishakapriya. Yes. They support the primary rasas. They are not staibhav in themselves. Servitorship. Okay. Okay, so Bhishma's relationship of servitorship was supported by his relationship of chivalry. Yeah, so it was his service to Lord Krishna to fight with him. Yes, Madangopa. Thank you for that. Last sentence on page 58. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Roja is the first one in the list. Yeah. Yeah. It's not that they're simply existed in the material world. Yeah. Okay, Premanita Prabhu. Bhishma Dev.
After the
Okay, so let us explain one thing, that Bhishma was one of the 8 Vasus from the heavenly planets. So now he died and the other 7 Vasus got angry with Arjuna. Actually, that's very good, because when you said that, I was remembering the scene on the battlefield where Krishna was running towards Bhishma Dev to kill him. And then Bhishma Dev accepted, yes, you are my master, you can kill me as you like. And then he actually went to his relationship with Krishna, primary relationship, was manifested. Servitorship. Yes, Manjari. Yeah. Yeah, there's some chronological problem over here in the story. But we get the idea. So anyway. Okay. We will see. Yes, Darshan. Commenting on the example of Nishingananda with the mother and the child. Mother, yes. Love of the mother for the child is pure, unselfish. Yes, one sannyasi was telling the story in class that when he was a small child, 2-3 years old, he was in his stroller going down the street in London and the bombs were falling and the mother threw herself on top of the stroller to protect the child. So he said this mother's love is very, very strong. It's very strong, actually. Experience it. Yes, Madan Gopal.
Yeah,
in your group discussion. Yeah, Prabhupada said how it manifests is it manifests in an interesting way. Yeah, it could be. There is chivalry. Chandra, what's her name? Chandravali. They're both fighting for Krishna. I mean, you know, yeah, they fight with Krishna too, actually. But envy is manifested in this way, that you see, Prabhupada said, the gopis. He says, one gopi sees, oh, this gopi is serving Krishna better than me. So she's a little envious there. Then she thinks, okay, I'm going to do better service. I'll do better than this gopi. So that's envy. And Prabhupada, actually, he was encouraging it among his disciples in a sense that there were different groups of book distributors. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was the head of the Radha Damodar party, and Jai Tirtha was the head of L.A. and the East West Coast. So Prabhupada was like encouraging them in rivalry. So he see who could distribute the most books. And one time, Jai Tirtha outdid Tamal, and Prabhupada said, oh, Tamal is going to faint. And Prabhupada said to Tamal, just see, he did more than you. Now what are you going to do about this? So Prabhupada was encouraging this envy, rivalry, kind of in a spiritual way. Of course, we yeah, it's a letter. Yes, Madhavendra Puri Prabhu.
At the same time, we are seeing it
for not fully Krishna conscious.
It can
become the perverted reflection. Like what?
Like when they were bursting tires and stuff.
Okay, yeah, so we don't want to mention any, we don't want to get into the gory details, but yes. It can get out of hand because we're not pure devotees. So therefore, we have to accept Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and we have to follow them with faith. We have to have faith. And that's why, devotees, we accept these authority. We accept the authority of the Guru, the Sadhus, and the Shastra. That is our authority. We are not independent, whoever we may be, as devotees. Parikshit is the example. He was Mahabhagwat. He was emperor of the world. Who can be higher position than him? But when he was ready to leave his body, went to the Association of Devotees, then he said, and he knew what to do. He said, I'm just going to sit here and hear the glories of the Lord. But what did he do? He said, he humbly went to all the Vaishnavas and he asked their blessings. He said, please tell me what to do. I'm in this situation. I'm going to die 7 days. What is your advice? So we accept the authority of the Vaishnavas and the Shastra, whoever we may be. Prabhupada said there is no big devotee and no small devotee. Everyone is equal, especially here in Vrindavan. Krishna is the only enjoyer. If you try to imitate or try to compete, you'll find out what happens in Vrindavan. Everyone is equal. There's an equal playing field here. Equal playing field. Okay, we only have 2 minutes left. Does anyone... Oh, okay, Sankirtan Das, and then Leela Madhuri. And that's it.
Assignment.
Okay, your essay assignment. Presenting Sukadev Goswami had the ability to present the work in a manner that would appeal to all classes of men. Of course you can quote. That will be... If you read the rubric, then it's quoting is allowed. To which extent? Oh, what's the limit? What's the limit? What's the maximum? Okay, well, this, of course, you can quote, you can reproduce, but I think you have to, you don't just copy the whole purport and say, this is my essay, of course. But you can, I mean, it's, we'll see, you just do it, and then the teacher, the teaching assistant, and even the class will tell you if you're going out of hand. See, that's the whole purpose of these presentations, is so that you get feedback. You get feedback on how you're doing. So you have 5 chances. Out of the 5, 2 will be accepted. So at the beginning, you may not do it perfectly. So you just do the best you can. And then the teaching assistant will let you know, and the rest of the class also will let you know if you know you're just quoting too much, losing our interest. Okay? Yeah.
Is there another question regarding the suggested topics?
Suggested topics. Yeah, it's suggestions.
What is the first section?
Oh, yeah, this is for the whole...
So how do we...
It's just suggestions for different sections. It's not for the first section. It's just giving you an idea of what to do. It's not that hard and fast. It's just for those of you who have no idea, just to give you some idea. Okay, you could, in Queen Quinty, you could take Queen Quinty's prayers, but that's a very general topic. You might want to say something very specific, how she is being protected by Krishna, how she is relating to danger. It could be a very specific topic. You could go into in great detail. Because here in the class, we're just giving an overview, and we can't get into the details so much. So in your presentations, we want to hear more of the detail. Of course, if you like to give an overview, that's all right also. But I think it would be more interesting and for you to give some more focused, specific, in-depth study. And these suggested topics, they're not at all hard and fast. You make up any topic you like from the first canto. You can check with your teaching assistant if you're not sure if it's okay. So I want to just take the one last question of Leela Madhuri and then we'll stop. The topic of? Why is Radharani feeling jealousy? And Krishna goes to someone else. Okay, very good. Thank you for that comment. So tomorrow we'll meet again. And you have your shloka class? 10 o'clock? For those of you who want to learn shlokas. Okay, all glories to Shri Prabhupada.